But the European people come over here and they see the indigenous peoples here who had found a way to live in and as part of this place, heart action, and they just said, well, they're in our way because, you know, we can cut the timber, we can mine the whatever, we can pollute the whatever, we can enrich ourselves and create advantage for ourselves and, you know, either kill off these people or move them someplace else or something. Seemed like a good idea. We're now learning that there are consequences, and the consequences are have well begun to catch up with ourselves. So, you could say the part of the plan that in the end is beneficial is that part of the arrangement of actions and consequences is that we as human beings are particularly apt to learn the hard way, which means learn from the consequences of our actions. And we discover that certain kinds of actions produce suffering. Produce imbalance, produce what we call unsustainability. The very kind of life that we created, which was done in the name of creating, you know, safety and stability and advantage for ourselves, we're now realizing is threatening our existence. Not to mention many other species. So you may wonder, what does this all have to do with the kinds of things that maybe that were spoken about before? But it's not different. Because, you know, the kinds of things that were inflicted on the peoples of this place, the murder, the genocide, the rape, torture, the displacement, the wholesale slaughter, not only of the people, but their traditions that they lived by thousands and thousands of years. You could say, if you're talking about negative things, things that produce suffering, and so on and so forth, the European peoples here have been a huge perpetrator. And you can say, well, what's that all about? So what I'm proposing as a way to think about that is to think about it as a way, a setup has been created so that people can and will learn, let's say it this way, learn what to do, learn how to live in the school of seeing the consequences of not doing that. So that when the suffering and the imbalance becomes strong enough, eventually the denial about all of this gets broken. And then people begin to say, well, this way of doing it, I thought it was great, but it's all falling apart. Me and my family are in a very hard way here. And this doesn't seem to be working. It's produced a lot of suffering. It's produced very harsh conditions. So let's look for something that really works. And when people start looking for it sincerely, they start finding it. Because it's always been here. The ways of life of the people who knew how to live in balance with the world. Well, even in a case where those people may have been murdered and sent off to some place or so on and so forth, but they still live in the land. They still live in the souls of the people. They still live in, if you want to say it this way, the souls of the rocks and the water and the trees and the animals and everything. And when there's the interest and the openness, well, it rises up again. You start rediscovering how to live in a way that maintains balance. And therefore, a minimum of suffering. They say there's been a lot of denial. We've been sold a bill of goods with this whole notion of there is such a thing as a secular world. And it has produced massive suffering for many people. I'm using the example of the indigenous people, but of course, invaders are not immune either. So, if you want to think of about purpose and design, and you know, what's this all for, and how to move with it, it's a useful way to think about it. Look at you know, what is my role, what is my participation in this thing, what can I offer to help the world, most particularly the human world, move back to a life lived out of heart.